Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey, and I'm having trouble speaking tonight, apparently. So, Ryan, how are you?
I'm good. Fortunately, I learned how to speak earlier this morning, so I'm good.
It has been such a day full of tech issues that I've been troubleshooting all day, and we've got a new setup now, and I was just like, oh, I have to click this, and then this, and then this, and then this, and oh, right, the talking.
Yeah.
So those of you who are watching us every week might notice that we have a third chair tonight. We have Robin joining us from Seattle, also known as Bill or Chinbeard from Punish Props. So, Bill, how are you doing tonight?
I also had my own technical issues. I was caught in traffic because Batman would not let me use the Batmobile. I had to take the Volkswagen Golf.
What a jerk. Who does that?
I know. He's so uptight.
So, where have you been all day? Or do you just dress like that all the time?
Could it be both?
Oh, well, yeah.
I was wearing my cape all day yesterday because I finished making my cape, and I decided that I'm winning as an adult if I wear my cape in the shop all day. So, but I was at Emerald City Comic Con today, mostly just waiting in line to get my badge because that took really long, but that's this weekend, so I've been doing that in my Robin costume. Raw.
Sweet.
So that's all weekend then? Are you going to be going all 3 days? And
I sure will be, yeah.
Do you have a whole bunch of video stuff planned, or are we going to be getting Punish Prop treats all through the weekend?
I hope. I do have a camera microphone rig that I built into my bat belt, my Robin belt, I should say. So I hope I get to interview some other costume people. A lot of my friends who are in the costuming community are there, and if I get a chance, I'm going to grab them aside and be like, let's talk on camera, talk shop. And yes, I'm hoping I get some video footage during the weekend. That'll be fun.
That's sweet. Pretty awesome. So, Ryan, is there anything going on with you before we dive right in? We got a lot of lot to cover tonight.
It's been a pretty standard week, but let's kick this off, I say.
All right. So why don't we start with Bill? What have you been playing in between building Robin costumes?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I just got a new PC. My old one died, and I got a new one from Doghouse, which is awesome.
And I just got a new one about a month and a half ago from Doghouse. And, oh, man, awesome. Yeah, be jealous, Ryan.
Not jealous. My computer is running fine. I'll be jealous in 6 months when my video card's out of date.
Yeah. So anyway, I fired up some old, not really old, but some first-person shooter classics, like Team Fortress 2, and the newest version of Counter-Strike, which was what my poison of choice was during college, so I fired that up.
Nice.
And I've been playing Blacklight Retribution, which is it's a free-to-play online first-person shooter. Futuristic, really cool looking thing.
Oh, cool. So something kind of Mass Effect-y, or?
Well, it's got kind of that feel to it. It's actually
like,
made by...
Sorry, go ahead.
It doesn't have aliens in it.
Mm. I don't think.
It's all humans, but it's made by Zombie Studios here in Seattle, and I know some of those guys, so...
Oh, sweet.
I've been hanging out with them and playing their game. It's pretty rad. It's really good to pop in for like a 10-minute, if you just have a little time to kill, go in, shoot some guys, get out. You earn points, you buy new things, or you can throw money at them and buy things faster. So,
oh, microtransactions.
Yep.
I heard EA made a big announcement this week, and they were just like, all of our games from now on, microtransactions. I was like, God damn it, EA. Cut it out.
Fortunately, I'm really good at resisting the urge to spend money that way.
Oh, that's good.
Mass Effect got a couple bucks out of me with their DLC. They're the you could buy their weapon packs. You could either earn points or you could just throw Microsoft dollars at them.
Yeah.
So they got a couple of moon dollars out of me for that. But I'm usually pretty good at resisting that.
I've been so good with the Mass Effect weapon packs. I've been like, oh, only 99,000 credits. I can do that. And it's like 10 multiplayer matches, and then I'm like, ha, one weapon pack.
Yeah.
And then you don't end up getting what you want, which is even worse.
Oh, that's the worst. I already have this gun. It's ridiculous. I need the newer, bigger one. I already have a pile of Mass Effect guns in there, actually.
Use the real ones. Oh, what were we thinking?
So I've also put the Dragon Ward DLC came out for PlayStation 3. Finally.
Yeah, so that was a long wait.
Yeah. And the Hearthfire one did too, but I already own like 3 houses in Skyrim, so I don't need to build a house.
Mm. So what do you think of the Dragonborn DLC? Are you a fan, or was it worth the wait?
Well, it just gives me an excuse to play more Skyrim, because I beat the crap out of it before. I put like 100 hours into it, and I'm like, I'm fully decked out in all the best armor and everything, and I'm like, I have nothing left to do. And then they're like, here's more stuff to do. I'm like, okay, gobble, 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 gobble. I'll eat it up. So yeah, I'm pretty happy with it.
Nice. What about you, Ryan? What have you been up to this week?
Well, I mean, speaking of DLC, I've been playing... We briefly talked about it last week. I was going to play the Tyranny of King Washington, the Assassin's Creed 3 sort of expansion. And I did beat it. I think I beat it after the show. And it's episode 1 of 3, and it's weird. It was $10, and this was the DLC they didn't advertise at all,
Wii
U. But it's $10. It's about 4 hours of gameplay. It mixes things up in the sense that you get superpowers now. So they go all Native American, I guess, and that sounds bad, but they give you wolf powers, and you can go invisible. So I didn't know wolves could go invisible. It must be an 18th century thing, but
yeah, they've grown out of it. They've evolved.
Yeah, man, that's a crappy evolution if you
it really
visibility.
Is kind of backwards.
Yeah, but it's neat because going invisible is something that would have came in handy in the campaign, because all of the stealth stuff in Assassin's Creed 3 is awful. Like, it's really hard to hide in that game. Like, you usually end up getting caught really quickly.
Maybe you're just kind of bad at it.
No, I think it's in general. I think it's just in general. But no,
You sure you don't suck at stealth?
I might. See, I'm the kind of run and gun, and I'm the run and gun kind of guy. Like, get in there, stab him, get out. And it's really hard to play like a stealth game like that, because usually there's other guards around. And Assassin's Creed 3 makes it even more tempting to be a run and gun, because they added, like, now you can stealth, or now you can use your hidden blades while running, and you do assassinations while running, rather than like having to stop, stab them, then walk away. You can actually take a run at them, stab them while running. Again, every time I talk about a video game, it sounds like...
That's wonderful. It's for the murderer on the go.
Exactly.
Very thoughtful.
It's like drive-through, you know? It's exactly
drive-through murder? Awesome.
Yeah.
I can't wait for my murder. I gotta get it done now.
Yeah, and you can do multiple murders at the same time.
two Perfect. For one. That's like the combo deal of murders.
It's more like you pull up to a Tim Hortons and they have a passenger window and a driver window, a drive-through. So you're getting two orders at once. It's great. Yeah.
Amazing.
We have that up here in Canada. But besides that, the story is sort of... It takes place after you beat the game, but not really. Originally, they were saying it was supposed to be like a what if George Washington became king? But really, it's like you wake up at the very start, and it's like, oh, what's going on? I'm not in my assassin's clothes, and my mom's still alive, and oh, what's going on? You know? That's not a spoiler. She dies really early in the game.
Oh, okay. I was going to say. Jeez.
Yeah. It's not like you guys are going to play Assassin's Creed 3, right?
Well, not right not. Now, but... Yeah, well,
not anymore, because his mom died.
I have to.
But, yeah, it's interesting. It's not really a what-if. It's more like he woke up after the events of the game, and all of a sudden things have just completely changed. Like, George Washington doesn't retire. He uses the piece of Eden to take over the world, and you know, it completely turns it on its head. Like, now the Americans are bloodthirsty killers, and they're like, just they're acting all British and like enslaving the people of their country, and it's weird. The first episode kind of isn't worth the price of admission. I think I should have listened to the reviews that were saying that
we're getting a prop.
Oh, sorry.
He's doing murder on the go.
No, I just realized I have to bring my Wolverine claws to Emerald City tomorrow, so for someone else. Sorry.
I totally thought it was like, here's my Assassin's Creed blade that
See,
I made.
If I could use, if I had those, then I could show you exactly how it works, right? But yeah, I think if you're interested in this pack, you're probably best to wait until the second one comes out, because the first one's sort of, well, it's just that it's the first episode. It's setting up the story. It's sort of like, it just sets up all the mechanics and the story at the same time. And, you know, it doesn't really go anywhere. It doesn't really do anything really cool. It doesn't fix any of the issues that were wrong with Assassin's Creed. You still have the same sort of like weird glitches and kind of iffy mission design, but hopefully in the second one they'll redeem themselves, because I like the idea. Not that a bloodthirsty Washington's a cool idea. Don't get angry at me, Bill. But I just, it's an interesting prospect to think that this great man, or what I think is a great man. I mean, I don't know. I'm Canadian. I assume he's a great man. I'm just going from what I hear. But you know, it's interesting to see him sort of be this complete opposite character. So I'm looking.
So was it worth? Was it worth the $10 then?
No, it wasn't. That's what I'm
not
saying.
Not even a little. Not even close.
Close. It was really close to being worth the $10. But it's weird to think that you're getting. And this has been the whole issue with DLC, is that you're getting a fraction of the game that you paid $60 for $10. Like a small fraction. It's really, when it comes right down to, if you compare time wise, it should be like, what, $3? I'm not saying that they should have charged me $3. I'm just saying that it's DLC is kind of weirdly priced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I totally agree. Except for Mass Effect 3 DLC, which was free.
Yes. Well, that stuff was free.
Yeah. I was actually really disappointed. I jumped in to play it with Val last night, and it was fun. I love multiplayer, and that's what I've been doing with my 10 to 15 minute little segments of time, is jumping in and playing a bronze match or whatever. But I was totally excited for what?
I said bronze, come on.
Oh my god. Well, actually we played silver last night and we kept dying on wave 10, and I was like, damn it, this is why I stay in bronze. I always get the satisfaction of extraction. But yeah, so I thought that, like, I hadn't really looked into the DLC. I was just like, yay, more multiplayer DLC. And there's no new maps. And I was just like, oh. It felt like somebody, like, kicked me in the stomach or something. I was just like, oh, you get new characters. Woo.
Wait, there's no maps?
There's no maps.
See, I completely didn't really look into the Mass Effect multiplayer new DLC thing. I just assumed that they added new maps with every one, and that's kind of lame.
Yeah, that's what I assume too, but it's six new characters, and then, like, I think four or five new weapons and four or five new, like, enhancements, so, like, armor or ammo or whatever, but no actual maps. So I was just like, Val and I played a couple of rounds, and I was just like, man, why don't we, let's jump into one of the new maps. Like, why do you keep picking the old maps? And she was just like, what new maps? And I was like, oh. So disappointing. But, I mean, it's still fun. And I got, because they give you a free, when you download the DLC, it gives you one character for free, like a bonus, like thanks for downloading type thing. Mm-hmm. And I got the Geth Juggernaut, which I haven't actually played, but they're huge. They're like the size of a Prime. Except they also have these, like, I think they're, Val and I kept running up behind the guys that we were playing with who were playing as the Juggernauts, trying to figure out what they were. I think they're, like, strips of bullets down the back, and then they, like, wrap around, like, the guest's butt. And they just look like butt spikes.
What is, like, with Bioware and butts? They're always about, like, insinuated, like, getting the butt in there. It's weird.
I know, and I was just like, maybe because Geth are robots, so their butt isn't defined enough, so they had to outline it with spikes. I don't know, but I was just like, what is going on?
It's, they crazy sit on you.
S&M Geth or something.
Oh, you didn't have to go there.
No, you haven't seen it. Like, seriously,
I don't
Google
think I
it.
Want is to. See-
why would I weird looking?
I am not Googling butt spikes, all right?
Like, no.
That is a bad idea, folks.
Oh, it's so true. Oh,
I'm
man.
I'm checking out the some of the new guns that they've got for that pack, because I like making Mass Effect guns.
Nice.
I don't know if they're brand new or if they're just stuff that they've pulled in from the campaign. I don't know, but
this Executioner pistol looks freaking rad. It's massive.
Nice.
That's cool. No, that does not look familiar. That one looks kind of new. It's got, like, it's red. It's got a skull painted on the side of it. That is
I definitely didn't get that. We died so much. I also accidentally, I was waiting, queuing up for a bronze match, and then whoever was, like, the leader of the group was, I don't know if it was accidental or if he was just being a jerk, but he changed to platinum, which I didn't even know was a level.
Oh, that's new, yeah.
I was just like, oh, man, I, like, ran around a corner and died. It's like, well, that was fun. Then no one came to revive me, and then we all died, and I was like, this was stupid. I hope that was a mistake.
So how do you feel about this being the final sort of multiplayer DLC for Mass Effect 3?
Well, it's the final DLC for Mass Effect for the multiplayer. Came out, I guess, Tuesday is when it launched. And then this next Tuesday, the 5th, is the final single-player DLC. And then there's no more Mass Effect. Like, well, I mean, they're saying Mass Effect 4 is coming, but we have no date on that. It could be, you know, 2014. It could be 2018. Like, no idea. So they don't seem to have anything... Yeah. Kind of imminent in the Mass Effect universe, and that makes me all kinds of sad.
So
I'm sorry, go.
No, I was just gonna say that it is. That's why I asked, because I figured that would be the case, and I'm feeling the same way. It sucks because it's one of my. Well, we've had it for what, 6 years, 7 years.
Yeah.
So, but I'm curious. Will you like? It sounds like you're not done with BioWare. Will you check out Dragon Age 3? I think they're going to be showing it at PAX East at some point.
Probably. I'm not a huge Dragon Age player, but I haven't tried two. Yeah. I played the first one, and it was really annoying, but apparently they fixed a lot of the things that I didn't like, so...
Well, yeah, they made it playable on consoles, which was one thing, but... Yeah, if you hated Dragon Age 1 on Xbox and didn't play it on PC, I think you'll dig Dragon Age 2. You probably pick that up for, like, less than $20, and it's
I'll just watch for a Steam sale.
Yeah.
Steam sales.
Which I don't even know if it's on Steam.
Might I don't know.
Be Origin
EA
only.
EA is starting to kind of integrate itself a little bit more with Steam, which causes me all kinds of problems because I hate EA. But you know, they just—that's
a good
know.
Point.
They seem to be integrating a little bit more, and they're starting to play nice. And I kind of hope at some point Origin just disappears and we can just have Steam. But yeah. I don't think that's going to happen.
But if you play Dragon Age 2, Val says you could play as Bill because he cosplayed as Hawk at one point.
Yeah, that's right.
Pretty
right.
convincing Hawk. Actually, we'll do a costume change when we talk about Dragon Age 2 in the next segment.
Yeah, you've got during our Doghouse advertisement, you've got about 30 seconds. So just come off the screen, new costume.
I don't even own that. I actually sold that costume I was moving. Yeah, I needed to make it room, and it was old, and I figured it was time to pass it on for money.
That's usually the best way to go about things.
Yeah.
Cool. So,
because I keep making new ones.
That's true.
And in fact, if you want more Mass Effect, then I will just go put on my Mass Effect armor, and I'll just act out little skits.
Nice.
That's perfect. We'll just talk, and you can just dance around in your Mass Effect gear.
Do the Mass Effect head bob.
The spirit of Mass Effect can live on forever.
As long as you can dance like Commander Shepard, we're all set.
I don't think that will be much of a challenge.
Nice. So anybody else, I mean, I played more stuff. Oh, I PvP'd in WoW. That was one thing I actually did want to talk about this week. I talk about WoW every week.
I'm
really, really sorry, guys.
She's in Blizzard's back pocket, I'm telling you.
I also played StarCraft 2 with Clark, which is something that no bronze player should ever do, because the dude is like... Diamond or something stupid, and he's just like, he was like directing me over Skype and telling me what to do in our 2v2 match, and then I was just like, I'm failing. Yeah, so I played some StarCraft 2. It was bad news, but he recorded it, so that's fun. So that'll be out sometime soon, I think. But yeah, I discovered Battlegrounds in WoW, and now I left PvP and will never do anything else. That's pretty much my Battleground story.
Nice.
When I played WoW for like 5 years, I was deep in it. And I had my one PvP character that all of that character did was PvP. It was a little gnome warlock. And she rained hell on everyone. It was awesome.
was your warlock a twink, or was it a level, like a capped level?
Oh, it was level capped. I wanted to get all of the tiered PvP gear on that character. I had the wings, like, you, there was a set of Warlock gear that was for PvP that had wings.
Nice.
And I got, actually, wait, I have a thing. Where is
that? Here it is. All of the awesome
look things. Just like this. This is what my gnome Warlock looked like.
Oh, sweet.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And that's mostly why I played PvP on that character, so I could get this armor set.
Is that a figure print?
No, this was an action figure, or, I'm sorry, a collectible figurine.
It doesn't have moving bits, so it can't be an action figure.
I'm 30. I don't have action figures anymore. I have collectible figurines.
That's good. I'm going to write that down, because I have collectible figurines here, too. So looking for
that was my... That was my wild PvP experience. I played that a lot.
Yeah, I had no idea what I was doing, and there was some guy in the raid chat that was just like yelling at me, and I was just like, I don't even care, dude. I'm PvPing. And then I was like fifth out of everybody, and I was just like, ha, take that. Fifth out of 30 in my very first ever PvP thing, so screw you, guy yelling at me.
Yeah.
Take that. So yeah, that was a whole lot of fun. But anybody else want to cover anything? Because I kind of want to move on so that we can do all of our prop talk.
Ooh.
I'm set. I have been too busy to play video games lately.
Yeah, fair enough. And it's kind of been a drought. Like, we're ramping up for March, which has, like, what, 5 or 6 major releases that we're all looking forward to? So I think it's kind of good. It's like the calm before the storm, and then it's just going to be insane. So
yeah.
That brings us to our doghouse plug. Yay! So we have the Kerrigan rifle that we are talking about. We have the giveaway that's still going on until next week. And oh, this is so much better than my screenshot.
Yeah, well, I'm building it. It's still being built, but there it is. There are the pieces right there, and it is gigantic.
It's huge, because that's the barrel there at the bottom, right? So that's going to go on the front of it. Oh, my God. That's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. I just want to hold it. Are you going to Nerdtacular this year? Can you bring one?
Uh-huh.
Amazing.
Sweet.
So if you want to win that super sweet replica, use the code Kerrigan in conjunction with our The Gamers In code to double your RAM as usual, but also have a chance to win the super sweet Kerrigan rifle replica. Bye, Bill. The only way to be entered to win the rifle, which has a $1,200 value, is to use the Kerrigan code at checkout. You have to submit your purchase to Doghouse using the code by March 12th, which is the launch of the Heart of the Swarm, to be considered a valid entry. Man, oh man, I can't talk tonight. Head on over to doghousesystems.com and get your order on. Big thanks to Doghouse for their continued support of our show. Which brings us to Quickfire News.
What? Come on, mouse, scroll with me here. Double Fine is optimistic about getting their stuff back. On April 1st, THQ will be putting the rest of their properties up for auction. This includes 5 lots of own software, which the Darksiders and Red Faction franchise fall under, and 1 lot of licensed properties. This final lot includes Double Fine properties like Costume Quest and Stacking. However, do not fret, for Double Fine fans. The company is optimistic that they will be able to regain publishing rights through the auction. Although the article kind of makes it sound like if they didn't get it back, it wouldn't be a big deal. So, it's weird.
The Wii Mini is coming to the UK March 22nd. Okay, I totally have to admit, I completely forgot the Wii Mini was even a thing. Turns out, it's a Canadian thing, which makes it even worse. The Wii Mini launched in Canada last fall and will be available in the UK March 22nd for the low, low price of $99. Actually, I have no idea what that is in pounds. I probably should have looked that up, but it's got to be, what, like 50 pounds, 40 pounds? It's like nothing. The Wii Mini plays Wii games, but has no internet connectivity and is not backwards compatible with GameCube titles. This looks like a move from Nintendo to boost hardware sales, as the Wii U only sold 57,000 units in the US in January. No word on a US launch date, or even if Nintendo intends to ever offer the system anywhere else.
EA is adding microtransactions to all future titles. Chief Financial Officer of EA, Blake Jorgensen, said the next and much bigger piece of the business is microtransactions within games. We're building into all of our games the ability to pay for things along the way, either to get to a higher level, to buy a new character, to buy a truck, a gun, whatever it might be. I don't know what game he's playing, but I want to play it. Consumers are enjoying and embracing that way of business. Personally, as long as having these microtransactions available in-game doesn't hamper gameplay in any way, like my playthrough of Dead Space 3. EA is welcome to do whatever they want. Just and if you don't like this news, then you're better off just not buying their games.
Assassin's Creed 4 is official. In the face of leak after leak this week, Ubisoft announced that Assassin's Creed 4 is coming. The game will be titled Black Flag, and from the cover art released, looks to be about pirates in the Caribbean. But not actually pirates of the Caribbean. Or Caribbean, I guess. Whichever you prefer. The project website accidentally leaked a release date of October 29th, 2013. Not really a surprise, given that we already knew Ubisoft was moving to an annual Assassin's Creed release cycle, and that Assassin's Creed 3 launched in October of last year. A full reveal of the game is slated for this Monday, March 4th, at 9 a.m. Pacific.
I am stoked about that one. I actually haven't played any of the Assassin's Creed ones, but there's one about pirates now, and I love pirates.
Who doesn't love pirates?
I know. I was just looking because my pirate hat's upstairs, unfortunately.
Well, now all you need to do is construct a hidden blade, and you're set.
That's it. Bam. Hat, hidden blade. I'm on board.
Great stuff. Johnny Depp, I hear, is going to be playing the main character.
Oh, God.
Sign me up.
Exactly. We may see more Walking Dead before season 2. I know Jocelyn's excited to hear about this. Telltale is currently hard at work in pre-production for season 2 of The Walking Dead, which means it's a whiles off. While that is unfortunate to hear, Telltale has a surprise in store for us. On the Up at Noon show, Gary Whitta, who wrote episode 4, said we may have a little something extra for you between season 1 and 2. No concrete details on what a little something extra is, but hey, new Walking Dead, am I right?
The Ouya gets a ship date. For anyone who backed Ouya's Kickstarter, this story is for you. An official ship date of March 28th has been announced for the console, going to anyone who backed the original Kickstarter campaign. So watch your inboxes for emails with tracking numbers and estimated delivery dates. Ouya CEO Julie Ehrman did state that the shipping will be staggered as they have, quote-unquote, a lot of Ouyas to ship. All others who pre-ordered can expect their consoles in June.
Cool. The story behind Alien Colonial Marines. It shouldn't be news to you at this point that Alien Colonial Marines was not well received. The Gearbox shooter had a troubled development, that much is certain. A lot of gamers are left wondering what the hell happened in the last 6 years. Well, Kotaku is trying to shed some light on this. Be sure to read the piece linked in the show notes that looks back at the 6 years of development. It's a very interesting article that I think they interviewed anonymously people who worked on the game over the last 6 years. But keep in mind, not all of it is proven to be 100% fact, but it still offers an interesting look at this awful mess.
This next story totally made me laugh. Yoshi, the unknown dinosaur. No, it's not an officially licensed Nintendo title sitting there in Google Play. Era's Adventure 3D, available for $1.99 in the Google Play Store, features Yoshi's face smiling up at you. The game involves Yoshi running around, spinning fireballs, and breaking crates. The developer has responded to Nintendo's fans' outrage by saying he purchased the cute little dinosaur from Turbo Squid, which is one of the largest 3D asset stores, for use in his game. He had no idea he was in fact using a much-loved Nintendo character. I find it really hard to believe that a video game developer had no idea who Yoshi was, Nintendo fan or not. Sounds like a money grab to me. He's had some stupid number of downloads because everybody thinks that Google Play is like Nintendo is now developing for other platforms and stuff just because he's using Yoshi. Like, who doesn't know who Yoshi is? Worst developer ever.
Yeah. He at least should be fined on the merit of losing that much geek cred.
Oh, man. Yeah. I know. Ridiculous. Apparently he's not breaking any laws, which is crazy because there's it's something to do with since he purchased it, they would have to have some kind of patent on the pattern for the 3D version of Yoshi filed in the US. Like, patent law is so crazy and broken. Mm. He's using Yoshi in a video game and it's not breaking any laws. Like, what?
I can understand him not being a Nintendo fan or a Super Mario fan and not knowing who Yoshi is in that sense, but I mean, he must have seen the Super Mario Brothers movie and knows who Yoshi is. I mean,
not even the movie, but I mean, like, anything to do with gaming anywhere. Like, anywhere there's a compilation of characters, Yoshi's always there. Oh, man. Anyway, so that brings us to our topic of the week, which this week is cosplay. Yay. With Bill.
Oh, I love costumes.
Oh, man. When I was doing the notes for the show, I was just like, I want to know this thing, and I want to know this thing, and how about you tell us about this thing? And I was just like, oh, my God, this is going to be a 3-hour show. So I think probably where we should start is where you started. How did you get into cosplay, and what was your first costume, all that kind of fun stuff?
Well, I did costumes, I think, like most people did as a kid for, like, Halloween. But recently, I think in 2009, a group of my friends, we all had this crazy idea. We were going to go to PAX here in Seattle, and we were going to dress up as Team Fortress characters. So we did that, and then afterwards, we're like, that was really fun. When's the next thing we can dress up for? And it just spiraled out of control. All of these people, this small group of friends, we're all in our late 20s and we don't have kids. And we're like, well, this is how we're spending our free time. So we did that. We just kept making more and more costumes for PAX out here, and then PAX East, and then Emerald City Comic Con, which is this weekend. We had Pirate Fest in Portland we go to, dress up as pirates, as I mentioned earlier. So, the Team Fortress one would be the first kind of serious one I did. I was the soldier, and I had a rocket launcher.
That's really, really cool. So did you manage to get a big enough group together that you had all of the Team Fortress guys represented, or were you missing anybody?
We had six, I believe. We had, me, soldier, sniper, that was me and my wife, let me think, medic, mechanic, no, not mechanic, engineer, spy, and scout. That's what we had. Yeah, so we did. We had six people, and it was great because it's a pretty popular thing to cosplay, and we were running around PAX, and we would see, like, we were all in blue, so we'd see a bunch of red team ones, and we'd be like, get them! And there was a lot of, there's six of us. We'd be like, swarm, and go get them.
That's really, really cool. Did you find that since it was your first real costuming experience, that was it difficult to do the weapons in particular? I mean, I imagine the clothing would be kind of a little bit easier than weapons, especially given Team Fortress 2, but Team Fortress 2.
I ended up helping or making most of the weapons. I already have a pretty good background in 3D design and modeling and stuff. So, turns out I enjoyed doing it a lot. So I helped make the sniper rifle that my wife did. She did most of the work, but I helped out. And the Medi gun was kind of tricky. Some of the stuff in Team Fortress you can get by with something that's kind of like it. Because it's a gun, like a gun that really exists. But the Medi gun, lo and behold, that doesn't really exist. So
imagine that.
I had to make that for one from scratch.
So you mentioned that you have a background in, like, 3D stuff. Did you go to school for that, or what's your background in terms of education?
Well, my mom's an art teacher, so I got a lot of that growing up. And I went to school for 3D computer art and design. So I've done lots and lots of 3D modeling and that sort of stuff, but also all of the traditional sculpting and traditional art, painting, drawing, all that stuff. I did lots and lots of that in school. So I do have a very strong background in art.
Oh, that's good. That explains it. Because most of the stuff I look at that you do, I'm just like, oh, man, I don't even know how I would start to try to do something like that.
Most of it is practice and screwing up a lot until you eventually get it right.
So everything that we see that you share is just, it's the end result of many frustrating hours.
Tiny fraction. It is the end result of a long and painful process. But I'm getting a lot better at screwing up less. And that's the key. The people who are very, very successful and really good at what they do are good at not screwing up as much. That's what it boils down to.
So you mentioned that you started in with the cosplay with your whole going to the cons and the Team Fortress 2 thing. What was that really a professional looking build that you did there, or did you start with, because I mean, I think the earliest pictures that I saw of you were probably your Mass Effect armor was mm-hmm. the first thing that I kind of looked and I was like, holy crap, that's amazing. Like I thought that you were like an actor and they were had brought you in to do some kind of like promo something, you know, like it was that good. So like, was that your first one or was there something else previous to that?
Oh no, there. So I guess it's kind of the artist in me who always thinks the last thing I made is crap and the new one is the only one worth looking. Like, don't look at the old stuff. It's cool. Unfortunately, everything I've made is on the internet now and has been propagated to edge servers in China. So it'll never go away. So my Team Fortress one, for example, the rocket launcher that I made is not my proudest build. I mean, it was one of my first ones and that's fine, but it's looking at it now, kind of embarrassing. But but since then, I mean, every project I did, which I've done a lot, I get better and better, and I always just keep doing things to challenge myself and improving. And while it's not healthy to compare yourself to other artists, I still do that because I'm a masochist, I guess.
Sometimes you just can't help it.
Yeah, keep trying to raise the bar and strive to get better. But my Mass Effect stuff is definitely where I sort of got to the point where other people thought my stuff was good enough to pay for.
Right.
And that's really kind of where my stuff started going. So December 2011, I did a Mass Effect gun for the Child's Play charity dinner. I did the N7 Eagle pistol. And that was one of the first ones where I made a good, successful mold. And I cast it. And I was able to finish and paint it and be happy with the paint job on it. And then people were like, I want one. Can I get one? I'm like, well, I made a mold right here. I can make more. So that was really where things sort of took off for me as far as the more professional sort of stuff.
Ryan, do you want to jump in with a question here? You've been kind of quiet there.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been monopolizing the bill.
Well, I mean, you mentioned your Mass Effect, and obviously we talked about your Hawk costume, like just BioWare in general. And you've actually been picked up by the BioWare like social media crew, right? I've seen a few of your photos on their feed and their Facebook page.
Yeah.
That must have been pretty awesome to see that kind of get noticed by the creators of what you're, you know, cosplaying, right?
Sure. My Hawk costume, I had my friend Nate, who's a really amazing photographer, and he shot my wedding, and he's my go-to guy for photos. We did a Dragon Age photo shoot with some other friends of mine who also had Dragon Age costumes. We went up to the University of Washington and got some, because it looks all castle-y, so we got some really good photos down there. And one of those photos, Nate took and put a fireball in my hand. It looked really cool.
Sweet.
And that photo got posted on the Dragon Age Facebook page, and it went nuts. And people were like, oh, that's so cool. That's so crazy and cool. But, of course, the only thing I remember from that is everyone who was making fun of my hair. So,
what was wrong with your hair?
I don't know. Everyone has something to complain about. But there were like 10 people who were like, his hair looks like crap. I'm like, it was hot out. I was wearing a goth.
Oh, so it's like, actually, Hawk has swiveled hair, not straight down. Yeah.
Well, actually.
Just nerding out. It's like, oh, come on, guys.
So, but since then, I've met a lot of the people, because I go to so many conventions. I've met the community people that work at BioWare, like Jessica Marinson and Chris Priestley. They always have, like at New York Comic Con, they had a booth there. Just a tiny booth, and I had my Mass Effect armor. I was like, can I just hang out here, guys? And they were like, yes, just hang out. And my friend Holly, who does the she does official costuming for them, she was there. So it was like Dude Shepherd and Female Shepherd were hanging out and getting pictures taken. It was really cool. So awesome. Yeah, their community team is really amazing. They're really nice, and I've had a chance to meet most of them.
Sweet.
So what did you do before you started? Because I know, like you said, you kind of just started taking off this last December, which is amazing. But you made the decision, you do this full time now for a living, right? To make all your prop making stuff. So was that a difficult decision for you? Was it kind of easy.
It wasn't even really a decision. Before this, I published video. It was lame and boring, and it was a good job, and it was safe, and it was secure, and I had vacation time. I was like, that's
vacation time.
That's boring. That's lame. So, was saying how people started approaching me wanting to buy the things that I was making. And I was like, whatever it was, I said yes to it. I'm like, yes, I'll make that. Yes, I'll make that. Yes. Because like I wanted exposure. I wanted I wanted an excuse to keep making things. And by March of last year, I had a commission list, and I still do now. It's crazy full. But by then, I was like, I can't. I have a job, and I have, like, 8 free hours every day, which was – every day was filled with me making things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't – I will never get through this commission list. There's way too much work there. And I was like, well, I guess I should just quit my job then. That sounds like a great idea. So it wasn't even a decision. It just felt like the next step.
Yeah.
Like, okay. And I talked to my wife about it, and like, she was like, you should do that. I was like, done. 2 weeks later, I was gone.
Wow. Jeez. That's absolutely incredible.
It's really good.
And I actually have not regretted it one bit. It's pretty cool doing this for a living. It is a living anxiety attack, trying to, you know, make ends meet, running your own small business and all that fun stuff. But I'm getting better at that. And
until then, you get to dress up like Robin and wear a mask.
Yeah. I can ask my boss for time off whenever I want. My boss is like, sure. I'm like, awesome.
Whatever you want, Bill. Thanks, Bill.
You're a swell guy.
Nice. I've watched a whole bunch of your videos that you've been posting on YouTube, specifically around the Mason Shield build and the Ghost Rifle build, actually. And, mm-hmm. I mean, you start talking sometimes, and I'm just like, I don't even know what that is. So... materials in terms of what you use to actually make your replicas, do you get stuff locally? Do you have to order stuff online? Is it super special things or just, you know, run-of-the-mill everyday items?
The tricky part is, so let's say you want to fix something on your house, right? You can go to the hardware store and you're like, hey, this part of my house is broken. And they're like, oh, we have a section for that right here. We have house parts right here. You know, and it's no problem. But if you go, there's no store, you're like, I'm making, well, I mean, it's a rifle, but not a real gun. Because people will be like, well, go to a gun store. I'm like, no, it's not a real, it's a space gun.
No one in Canada ever says that.
Yeah, they say, you're making a gun? You probably should get out of Canada, eh?
Yeah. So you can't just go to a store to buy those parts. But all of the stuff you need exists. It's just a lot of it's at the hardware store, or a lot of it's at the hobby store, or some of it's at industrial supply type places. So what people have been doing, you know, like prop makers in movies and Hollywood and everything, have sort of learned over the years the stuff they need. But now, for like me and the sort of people that do this prop making thing as an individual, we're learning where to go to get all these things. And there are places that are known now. So, for example, there's a place up in Bellevue where I used to live called Tap Plastics. And they cater to like sign making or industrial type applications and all that. But it just so happens that everything they have there is really good for like making costumes and props. You know? So I'm friends with them now because I show up every Friday and buy more plastic.
So is there like a central repository of information or something? Like how would you even get started to know these things?
That's the tricky thing, though. There isn't one. Well, there's a place called the RPF. It's the Replica Prop Forums, and all of the information is there, but it's kind of spread out over many, many prop or many posts and everything, and different articles and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I actually wrote a short book recently. I put it up on my webpage.
No big deal. I just totally wrote a book.
Yeah.
One more of the awesome things I do.
It's a beginner's guide to prop making, and it's like $5. It's a PDF, and I have a list of materials and where you can go get them. There are more advanced materials. I use a lot of stuff like plastic resins, like two-part plastic resins and stuff. That's not. I'll eventually write like an intermediate guide to the more advanced stuff. Like mold making is really complicated. Mm. But a lot of the things I use are stuff from the hardware store, you know. And then sheet plastic. I use sheet plastic all the time. You can order that online. You can go to Sintra is a website that has that, or Smooth-On is a place I order lots of stuff from. They do liquid resins. They do silicones. And again, they sell it primarily for, you know, industrial stuff, or like the urethane that my mask is made out of. It's a urethane rubber that's used in an industry for making molds for pouring concrete, you know, for like like making sidewalks, you know. That's what they usually sell it for, but it's also really good for making superhero masks. So no one person has really sort of wrangled on that where to go get all this stuff. I've tried, you know, a lot of the beginner stuff I've sort of locked down. But you're right, it's tricky, but it's because you can't just go to the prop store.
Maybe you should start a prop store.
That's his next book.
How to start a prop store.
I do have a store on my webpage for buying blank kits of my guns and blueprints of the stuff that I make and my book. So
cool.
Fancy. Mm-hmm. So I guess that kind of covers tips and tricks. So if... But actually, Ryan, why don't you? You have a really good question here. So, do you want to throw that in?
Sure. Oh, I mean, people who know of the chin beard, the Bill Duran, they know that you're not only a prop guy, but you're also a fitness geek on the morning stream. Correct?
Yes.
I mean, not misleading people. And I was curious if you sort of combine your fitness with gaming in any way, besides running around in a costume at night.
I don't. I know that people will do like a treadmill with a gaming rig on it. Usually when I'm exercising, I'm just listening to podcasts. That's because there's always more podcasts to listen to.
Always.
But the thing that I do, I was talking to my wife about this yesterday, actually. So here's an example. For my Shepherd armor build, right? I didn't need to be in shape for that because it's, you know, it's big bulky armor,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not showing off my belly. So I had no motivation to up the game as far as my fitness goes. But for my Wolverine costume a couple of years ago, I was like, I'm going to be Wolverine, but I want to wear a tank top. So I, you know, went crazy with my fitness 2 months beforehand and got in shape for that. And same thing for my Robin costume. This is a rather tight like fitness shirt that I'm wearing here. So the last month or two, I was that it's basically provides me the motivation to up my game as far as fitness goes, to sort of focus and to have a goal, right? Because even if you hit your weight goal for your fitness, you need a next. You have to keep having goals, otherwise you will start eating pizza again every day and stuff. We're gonna get all flabby again. So,
I love eating pizza. That's what I do after delicious. The show every week.
I love pizza too.
It's my pizza, beer, and video game night after the show. It's fantastic.
I have a cold beer waiting for me upstairs, so I'm pretty stoked.
You're set then. So I think I only have one final question, which is basically if you had no time or money constraints whatsoever, you could get whatever materials you needed and, you know, take as much time as you needed, what would you build just for you, for yourself?
Well, it used to be the Millennium Falcon, but...
the Millennium Falcon?
No, I want to build a Millennium Falcon and then live...
I thought you were going to just walk around as the Millennium Falcon.
No. Oh, that's not a bad idea, though.
You're welcome to have it.
You know what? You keep that for yourself.
Nerdtacular 2013, I'm coming as the Millennium Falcon.
That would be incredible. there is a group of people who are building a full-scale Millennium Falcon. If you look up, I think it's Millennium Falcon Project or something like that, you'll find it. So I was like, they're already doing it. I don't want to be the second guy to build a Millennium Falcon. So my new one, and I don't know if anyone has done this or not, and I'm not going to look it up because I don't want to ruin it, just like the Falcon thing. But I really kind of want to build from, you know, the movie The Fifth Element, right?
Yes.
You are familiar with. You know Corbin Dallas's apartment, that tiny apartment he has? With, like,
vaguely.
Yeah.
Okay, so he has his tiny apartment, and it's in several shots. He has a window that opens and that's out into the city, and there's like the Chinese food guy flies in, and he has a bed that makes itself, and his refrigerator moves up and down, and so the fridge moves down and his shower's there. So it's this tiny apartment, future apartment, that's super compact, and I'm obsessed with tiny houses, you know, the really small houses where everything has... Everything has its tiny purpose, and this everything kind of works. So what I would love to do when I own my own house is to take one of the rooms and convert it into Corbin Dallas's apartment.
That's nice. Awesome. That would be really cool. I just got a house, and I'm trying to convince, you know, the spare bedroom to turn it into, like, you know, put some trap doors in there and a slide of some kind, but it's
you
not
need
flying.
A bookcase that opens. And
yes.
Stuff back.
You pull the book back and it goes.
Yes.
That sounds perfect.
Awesome. What about you, Ryan? If you had either the money to pay Bill or Bill's skill and no time or money constraints, what would you want to be? What would your costume of choice be?
Oh, man, that's a tough question. I know I have to think about it on the fly, so I'm stalling. I really don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, I suppose it'd be really cool, like, have my own Master Chief sort of set, or like...
Oh, I knew you were going to go Halo. God,
it's because they're staring me right in the face here. Like, maybe to change it up, maybe go as an elite with one of those, like, sweet swords.
See, yeah. That would be cooler.
Yeah, probably would be cooler.
You need to check out the 405th. It's a Halo costuming group.
They have a group for that.
Oh, I'm sure there's a group for everything. It's the internet, right? But it sort of reminds me of... I watched that Morgan Spurlock documentary on Comic-Con, and they had the Rex costume, which sort of reminds me of how that would work.
Yeah, that my friend Holly was in that.
Right.
And the Rex costume, I met the guy that did that, too. He was walking around PAX East last year with just the head on.
Oh.
And he had a jumpsuit. So it was like he's kind of a big dude, but a big dude with a Rex head. And he had little animatronics in there, so his eyelids were blinking and everything. That's pretty rad.
So cool. Yeah, that was... I think the sort of... That principle would apply really well to, like, a full-scale elite costume. And I think that'd be pretty cool. What about you, Jocelyn? Because I know you're just itching.
And I am. If I had no time or money constraints and actually had talent, I think probably the Nightingale armor from Skyrim.
Oh, that would be pretty rad.
That would be awesome. Ryan, have you got that far? Do you even know what I'm talking about?
Is that the Thieves Guild?
Yeah, that's when you go all the way through the Thieves Guild quest. Yeah, there's this, like, cowl hood thing, and I mean, you're just, it's all kind of ebony and shiny and glowy kind of, and it's so cool. And then there's this mask that covers, like, your whole face.
That's what that sound was?
Yes, that was me covering my face.
Okay. I was curious. It's like, is your mic going? It's like, yeah, I remember that armor. That's pretty sweet. That's one of the best armor sets in the game, I think. Like, just the better looking one, so.
Oh, it totally is. I mean, I have armor that has way better stats for, you know, end game Skyrim, and I wear my Nightingale armor all the time. So I'm just like, I look so badass. I don't even care that I'm not doing stealth right now.
Nice.
So yeah, that would be my dream thing.
So I knew that your elite thing sounded familiar, Ryan. So if you look up Halo Elite Costume, you will see the most incredible costume that someone made.
Sweet.
It's like a 9 foot tall elite costume. It's amazing.
Awesome.
So there you go, Ryan. You have to pick a different thing because, yeah, the internet's already done your thing. So
I would think the internet's
talk to these guys. Go talk to these guys and let it see. Just see if they'll let you walk around in the costume.
Sweet. But I wonder, like, and Bill, you could probably speak to this, like, is there a sort of a cosplayer out there for every sort of the video game genre, anime, whatever, TV show. Like, it's just, it's such this wide phenomenon that pretty much it hits everything. Unless something completely new comes out, then maybe there's that new material to cosplay, or is there sort of this like untapped franchise that hasn't been cosplayed yet?
Oh, you would not believe how obscure people get with their costumes. Especially if you're walking around Dragon Con, sometimes you'll see someone and it won't hit you right away. They'll pick like such a crazy obscure character with like a crazy obscure version of something. So someone's done it. Oh, cool. One of the most amazing costumes I saw, I was at Dragon Con. It was 4 a.m. I was walking back to my hotel room, and I had been in my Commander Shepard armor for like 14 hours that day. I was dehydrated. I was half drunk, wandering back to my hotel room. And a dude walked by in a suit, right? He had a glass of scotch in his hand. He had the Tony Stark mustache. You could tell he had like the arc reactor in his chest, right? Under his suit. And he had no pants. And he had Iron Man boxer shorts on. And I stopped for a second. I'm like, this man just won Dragon Con right there. That's amazing. I wouldn't even think to do something like that.
Iron Man doing the walk of shame at 4 in the morning.
I think it was the walk of pride.
Oh, yeah, I think he's probably pretty proud of that.
If he's got a glass of scotch in his hand, probably. Yeah. That's really neat.
So I think that pretty much wraps it up for the show tonight. Is there anything you want to plug before we head on out of here, Bill?
Sure. I mentioned my book earlier. So if anyone is looking to get into prop making, I wrote this short book. It's on my webpage. You go to punishedprops.com, go to the shop. It's there. It's $5. It's a PDF. And it's got everything you need to know to get started. And I think what most people need is just that little shove. And once you sort of scratch the surface, once you're inside, you're like, oh, there's so many possibilities. I didn't realize I could do all that. So you can get going super cheap, super easy, so long as you're willing to put in the time to start making props and costumes. So I highly recommend people go buy my book. Awesome. It's called A Beginner's Guide to... I don't remember.
You don't remember the title of your own book?
Ever.
I wrote a really long title. It's A Beginner's Guide to Making Mind-Blowing Props.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That is kind of a long title.
Nice. And then I'm on Twitter at Chinbeard. Despite the fact that I shaved for this costume, my Twitter handle is Chinbeard. And on Facebook, it's facebook.com/punishedprops. And earlier you mentioned that I was doing videos, and I have been doing lots of videos at youtube.com/punishedprops, where I do lots of in-the-shop sort of stuff. And I just interviewed Jessica Negri, the cosplayer who did the lollipop chainsaw, there we go, costume, last year. So she's really cool, really nice, and she's here for Emerald City Comic Con. She stopped by, I interviewed her. So all that's up on my YouTube channel, so go subscribe to that and enjoy.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I had a blast.
Thanks.
I also had fun.
So you can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com or email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com. You can find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including Starcast, Biggest Fan, and This Week in Blizz. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. You can also find us on Facebook and Google+. And don't forget to leave us an iTunes review, as it's the best way for our show to reach new listeners. So before we go, I just want to give a quick shout out and thank you to my brother Greg, who created our awesome music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We'd also like to thank Joel Duggan of StarCraft Online, who drew our Twitter avatars and created our logo. You can find him on Twitter at Joel Duggan or read his comic at StarCrossOnline.com. Thanks for staying at The Gamers Inn, and remember to tune in next week. Bye.
Bye. Doing drywall downstairs, and it's just like sanding that stuff. It just gets all over. I'm pretty sure I have like white lungs now.
I've got the white lungs.
Doesn't sound quite as bad as black lung.
All you gotta do is point me in the right direction, and I'll bring the funny.
If you guys want to mute your mics until you hear me do the intro, that'd be awesome, because last week we had a whole lot of breathing through the theme song, so...
I'll save the heavy breathing for when we talk about... trying to find something inappropriate here. No, there's nothing inappropriate. Well, okay, never mind.
It's going to be a boring show then.
Yeah.